Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
What's a secret you have sworn never to tell, but you'll gladly share anonymously on the internet? Story 1. One night my dad came home pretty drunk in my late teens. He instantly ran up to our dog and started dancing with him while my dog waited to be let out. He pours the strongest whiskey drink I have ever had in my life, still to this day, and slams on the couch. Half asleep, he asks me if I know how I was born. Thinking he's going to get into the birds and the bees, I quickly avoid the subject. He wakes up immediately and says, "No, you don't even know. You were conceived in the bathroom of MSG at an Aerosmith concert while I was hoped up on a bunch of sweets with your mom." He then told me that it was in the men's room, and I asked him if he did it in a stall, and he just started laughing. 1 week later, it finally hit me why my name is Tyler. Story 2. I have been a pawnbroker for 7 years. I see all kinds of crazy people and have heard every possible story I can imagine. One day, a lady came in and needed to pawn her husband's wedding ring. She explained to me that he had recently passed away, and it was the only thing she had worth any money. The amount I could give was a meager $30, but it helped her out in her bind. While she didn't like to, she would bring in that ring every few weeks, borrow $30, and then return within a few weeks to reclaim her prized possession. This went on for about 3 years. Towards the end there, the ring tended to stay for more than a few weeks. The loan cycle is 90 days, and at the end, you can pay the accrued finance charges for another 90-day loan period. She needed to do this a few times because she was unable to come up with the full redemption amount. One day, I was sorting jewelry from expired loans and realized her ring was expired by a few days. So I secretly hid the ring in the safe and changed the expiration date in the computer for another month. I desperately looked out for this woman to come into the store because I knew if she came in while my boss was there, he would be able to look up her account and see the modified date in the computer, and I would be busted. I knew that she would never abandon this treasure of hers, and my mind couldn't come up with a reason she would abandon the ring. Then the day came. She came in. I explained to her in secret that I had held on to her ring so that she could renew or redeem it. She was thankful, but explained that she had been desperately trying to come up with the money to pay for it, but she had no luck coming up with it. I told her I would hang on to it for a little while longer and explained that I would lose my job if I was caught. She said she would be back the very next day with the money for it, guaranteed. I said, "No worries, get it as soon as you can. You'll hang on to it." The next day came and went, she never showed up. After 4 days, I was struggling once again with what to do about the situation, and she walked in. Now at this time, I felt a great weight of empathy for this woman. She reminded me so much of my own deceased mother, and I swear every time I looked upon her, I saw my own mother, if things were different. Over those 3 years, I saw this woman's life degrade so much, it is the saddest tale I have ever witnessed unfold in reality. She explained to me that she still had no money. And as for her reason for not showing up the day she said she would, she told me she was busted in Portland for attempting. She had had no luck trying to work the streets for a measly $18 and change, the amount of interest owed for this loan at this point, and instead ended up in jail with criminal charges. That was one of the most terrible things I could imagine. What a sick twist of fate. I told her as long as it takes, I will hang on to it no matter what. As soon as you are able, come pay the finance charges or redeem it, whatever you are able to come up with. But don't worry, I will hold on to it. Looking back, I wish I could have done more. If only I wasn't so oh no poor myself. I blame my GF at the time, she was expensive. I would have just paid for it out of my own pocket. It was one more week till payday, then I was going to pay it myself whether she had the money or not. At this point, I felt the most important thing was making sure she kept this ring. That was the last time I ever saw her. I read the news online every single day. The next day, I read an article that blew my mind and wounded my heart forever. She had apparently left the pawn shop and drove far away to the Oregon coast and walked into the ocean and drowned. I realized at this point that the value of human life is worth more than $18 and change. To this day, I carry a $20 bill in my wallet with her name on it. The next time I can save a life for $20, I have it covered. I ended up purchasing the ring for myself, and it is one of my most coveted treasures. If only there was more I could do. Edit. I have never told this story to a single person ever because I guess I feel guilty. Was it my fault? What more could I have done? Story 3. When I was a teenager, about 30 years ago, I was house dog sitting for an elderly neighbor. She had a Polaroid camera and plenty of film laying around, and I took a bunch of pics of myself in mirror just because, well, I was a teenage boy. But afterwards, I was nervous about having them in my house. What if my mom or sister or whoever found them? I was very shy about my body and small wang, but taking and having the pictures did sexually excite me, and I wanted to get rid of them in a way that would be arousing as well. So I went to the public library and discreetly went to the section of books that I figured only women would read or check out, knitting, sewing, cookbooks, etc. One in each book to maximize distribution. A few years later, a neighbor woman, what we'd call a MILF today, was talking with my mom in the kitchen, just chatting up. She then tells my mom she checked out a few books in the library, and in two of them, she found pictures of a young man flaunting his rather less endowed erection, and they both had a good laugh. Story 4. I got my driver's license on accident. I never actually ever took a driver's test or anything of the sort. I just walked in, gave them my driver's permit from another state, a few papers showing I was a resident in this new state, and then they mistook the permit for an actual license. It's because my old state permit had said I had two restrictions on it, Class A, because I needed glasses, and Class B, because it was only a permit and I needed licensed passenger with me at all times. The new state got confused and took away the Class A and just gave me a Class B, which in that state, a Class B license meant something different. It meant I needed glasses. Anyway, I just kept a poker face on the whole time and walked out. If any of that is confusing, I can clarify. Story 5. When I was in my late teens, my father told me he wanted to take me to a museum at work. We got up early the next morning, and on the way to his work, while sitting in his car, I asked why his company, an electrical engineering firm, had a museum in it. He told me that he didn't work for Company X and never did. He did not elaborate any further. I sat in the passenger seat and thought for a few minutes and paid closer attention to what we were doing. We pulled up to a booth, and he pulled a blue ID out of his pocket with only his picture and a seal on it. When the guard gave it back, he handed it to me and smirked. My dad worked for the freaking CIA. We spent the morning walking around the campus, and he showed me the coolest spy museum that you will never see, and the Kryptos installation. I speak some foreign languages, so he took me by the old FBI's area, and I looked through all the open source materials. It was pretty cool, but very weird. It took me some hours to get over the fact that we had lived illegally in an established Western European nation and would have booted. Dad would have been arrested and probably traded diplomatically. If the host nation found out. He has since retired, but I don't dare talk about it because who knows what kind of nonsense that could stir up if names and locations could be deduced. He spent most of his career working on money trails and laundering of terrorist factions. He told me that he has met some really bad people. Also, he said that the worst feeling he has ever experienced is waking up at like 3 a.m. to a phone and trying to remember what name you are using and what job you are doing before you answer it. Story 6. In Okinawa, Japan, back in 2004, I was in the Air Force. I had just gotten off the plane in the capital city of Naha from boot camp job training. My superiors were there to greet me, staff sergeant and tech sergeant. They gave me a very warm welcome and packed my stuff into a waiting vehicle. On the way to the base, we went off the main road onto a side street. I asked, "Where are we going?" And they responded, "Oh, we have to take you to this club first. Real high-class place. You'll like it. Once done, we'll drop you off at the barracks." I agreed, and off we went. I noticed that the place we stopped at looked very shady. A very confined alley with trash and homeless people littered throughout. They took me into this place, and the first thing I noticed was how dark it was. Very dark, except for individual round tables spread throughout with red tablecloths and a single lamp in the center of each. Also, the man at the door went right into our faces as soon as we walked through the door. You buy drink or leave? You buy drink and sit. They paid for me, and we sat at one of the various red tables. I noticed that my supervisors were trying to hold back laughter, and I was completely oblivious as to what they thought was funny. All of a sudden, a spotlight hits the stage and curtains open up. Standing there is an elderly Asian lady that had to be in her late 80s as the day she was born. It was probably the most disturbing thing I had ever seen. Imagine Master Yoda with old saggy ball and liver spots galore. Music strikes up and she starts strutting across the stage. She pulls out a banana from behind the curtains and starts to peel it. My mind prepares for the worst. And thank goodness that it did. She crams the banana up her twat and then continues to strut. She then lifts her leg, like a dog trying to take a pour out the water, and screams out a martial arts Bruce Lee scream. Yeah! And a single slice of banana flies out of her vagina onto one of the tables in front of us. She does this several times until the banana is all gone. She then bows and walks off the stage. To top it off, one of the drunk Marines in front of me grabs a banana slice and looks at it while his friends chant around him, "Eat it! Eat it! Eat it!" which he then does. I was left there in awe. The guys beside me were rolling.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
On the floor laughing. Truly the biggest WTF moment of my life. Story 7. My friend inherited a beautiful diamond engagement ring. The stone was worth $20,000. His fiancée was thrilled to receive it and flaunt it. Now his wife of 25 years, it's still one of her most precious possessions. Only I and you 4 million know that she does not own the original diamond. My friend sold the stone for $15,000 and an equal-sized substitute diamond on the day he picked it up from being sized to fit her. Edits, to answer a few questions. The value of the ring was learned at appraisal and was actually appraised a bit higher. The $20,000 was the number he knew he could get from a wholesaler in the district. It is still insured for the higher amount. The stone that was substituted is a diamond, and I couldn't tell the difference. The money was mostly used to clear debts. Story 8. My friend who works for Norelco, the razor brand, told me that if you keep the razor upside down in baby oil, the blue-green shards that keep smooth when you shave will never wear down. I've used the same Mac 3 razor for 3 years, same cartridge. Story 9. When I was 20, quite a few years ago, I was cycling along a purpose-made path for cycling walks in the direction of an older couple, I guessed 50-ish. As I was about to pass them, the man stepped towards my bike and tried to push me off, shouting something about bikes shouldn't be there. I swerved and he missed me. This is the point where I made my mistake. I stopped, got off my bike, and hurled abuse at the man for being such a crazy peach fool, swearing and waving my arms like a nut job, generally being baffled by his actions. He then started towards me, looking pretty stern, my adrenaline now pumping quite hard. He was a big dude, and I'm only a slim 5'8", but I was a boxer in training and probably should have asterisk known better, and threw a punch at my head. I stepped out of the way and countered. He dropped like a sack of cow. I got back on my bike and sprinted off raging. The next day, the local newspapers put out a story about a couple being horribly attacked by a violent masked assailant while taking their quiet evening stroll and how it had ruined their lives, this dude coming out of nowhere and trying to rob them, how the man bravely defended his wife but was struck down and beaten, how it had ruined their holiday of a lifetime they had been saving for as the man was too ill to go now. He apparently had to have reconstructive surgery because his face was broken so badly. I kind of feel like he deserved to get some punishment for being such a banana. But it was an eye-opener, as I will never trust the media again. Edit, changed of to have for I make greetings cards. Story 10. I'm a primary school teacher, and when I started at my new school, I inherited a pet hamster. She was a bit of a pain in the peach at first, but I grew to love her, and felt sorry that the kids kept prodding their grubby little hands in the cage. One special needs boy even pushed her cage off the table and nearly terminated her. So I took her home after about 3 weeks of starting the job and proceeded to lie to all of the children and the teachers that she had passed away and kept her at home. I like to think it's a good lie, and I helped the little critter see out the last year of her life in a nice way. Story 11. It's a bit of a family secret that my uncle tried to commit in his early 20s. He's older now and happily married with 2 kids. I found out through eavesdropping on my parents as a teen, so no one knows that I know. I kind of want to talk to him about it because I've been feeling depressed for a while now and talking to therapists hasn't been helping. I just don't know how to bring it up or even if I should. Edit, thanks everyone for all the advice. For all of those worried, I'm not going to terminate myself. I've been battling depression for a while, but I'm getting all the help I can. All of your comments encourage me to open up to my uncle, which I will. So thanks for giving me the courage. Story 12. A close friend of mine, girl, was dating, banging regularly this friend of mine, guy, for a few weeks. One day he just stopped talking to her for no reason. She and I start drinking, and next thing I know, we have driven to the parking lot where his truck is parked. She cows in a cup and throws it as his windshield. Then she cows in another paper cup, there was a stack of paper cups in the car, and uses a stick to smear it under his door handles. Really packs it in there. It was about 0 degrees F out. It froze solid under his doors, and he couldn't get them open for about 3 days. He still brings it up and how it totally confuses him to this day. BTW, this is a super proper girly girl that did this. Most people don't even think she farts. I have never told a soul. Story 13. My boss and I look really similar. We look almost like brothers or father and son. However, I am 3 inches taller than him, considerably skinnier, and while he is sort of the dumb sports guy, I am more of the smart, nerdy type. I go to barbecues at his house every once in a while and started to get to know his wife pretty well. She's in her early 30s, I'm in my late 20s, and he's in his 40s. At a weekend thing at his house, she approaches me privately, saying that my boss wants to have a child. That's nice, I think to myself, until she tells me that she wants me to get her pregnant. At first, I refuse her as I don't want to lose my job. I really don't think I could find another that pays as well. Eventually, she convinces me that he will never find out because we look so much alike. She tells me that since I'm taller, better looking, and smarter, she wants me to get her pregnant instead of him. We meet up 4 times over a couple weeks, and I get to fudge my boss's beautiful wife. Finally, she's pregnant, and she tells my boss that she is ready to try for a baby. 9 months later, my first son is born. My boss is thrilled, and I feel horrible. Not only am I deceiving him, but this is my firstborn son, and I will barely know him. 2 years later, he wants another child. By this time, I'm over the fact that their son is really mine. It is still weird, but they are good people, and I basically just think of myself as the donor. Well, the time came again to donate. Their daughter was born 6 months ago, and their son is now 3. He looks a lot like me. I can see it in his eyes, but I can also see in those same eyes how much he loves his dad and how much his dad loves him. I have a girlfriend now, who I met about a year ago. I'm considering proposing and starting a real family of my own. I'm still not sure if I will ever tell her. Story 14. I worked for a company in college that would throw a big party in June for all of its employees all over Southern California. At my very first party in 1994, I got into a conversation with a guy who told me that his girlfriend was a paralegal for Howard Weitzman, who was O.J. Simpson's attorney at the time. Nicole Brown Simpson had just been murdered a couple of days before this party. So, the guy tells me that his girlfriend was in the room with Weitzman when O.J. calls the day after the murder. It wasn't unusual for O.J. to call, so Weitzman put O.J. on speakerphone and O.J. said, "I just terminated my wife and the police are asking questions." The attorney immediately picked up the receiver. After the phone call, Weitzman made the guy's girlfriend sign a paper that stated what she had heard was protected under attorney-client privilege. The guy was pretty distressed about it. He was also drunk. I kind of brushed it off at the time because I didn't believe him. This is pre-car chase and trial and facts. Story 15. I used to work as the doorman security for a local bar. One night, a bunch of the employees got together at the bar next door for one of the servers' birthdays while I had to work the night shift. All the bars and restaurants close at 2 a.m., so I kick out all the drunks and leave. I'm walking through the parking lot and see someone sitting in the grass leaned against a car in the dark. I realized it's one of the servers who was next door partying, and he's kind of a loner who gets picked on for being a little off. He's completely covered in puke, as is the inside of his car, which he's trying to climb back in to pass out. I decide to be a GGG and tell him to sneak around the back of the restaurant by the dumpster and I'll meet him there. I BS a story to come back inside where a full shift of employees is doing side work and cleaning. go out the back and crank the water hose on full blast and snake it under the gate. I get him cleaned up without any servers coming out to breathe or throw out garbage, which is a miracle in itself. Then snag some server towels to throw down on the puke in his car. He passed out for the night in his car, and we never spoke of it again. I just knew he'd never hear the end of it if the other employees found out. Story 16. That my nephew was the result of my sister poking holes in her high school boyfriend's rubber band. After they dropped out, she became pregnant. And since neither of them could get a real job, she manipulated her boyfriend into marrying her and subsequently joining the military. He deployed to Afghanistan after basic training, and while he was away, she had an on-again, off-again, two-year-long affair with another man. Even my mother knew about the affair the entire time it was going on. Her husband was a good friend of mine in high school. I was even the one who introduced them. I am stuck between loyalty to my family and doing the right thing. Story 17. I work in a lab under a graduate student mentor. He's a nice guy, really intense about his research, and someone who will answer any of my questions no matter how stupid they are. He's also very conservative. While agnostic, he holds traditional family values dear to him, specifically against same close relationships. He won't condemn you if you engage in activities like that, but he probably would lose a bit of respect for you. However, little does he know that he once sucked a guy's cock at a party we both went to. He got really drunk and apparently thought it would be a good idea. And I can't tell him. Edit. I posted this same story about 3 months ago. Still works. I don't tell people I know in person this story. Story 18. My father had a severe accident during his time in the Navy. He's told everyone that he was working a few floors up above a ladder that led to all the floors in the ship and fell straight down onto his feet. There were apparently nets between each floor to prevent this from happening, but they had been removed for some reason. As a result, he broke most of the bones in his feet and legs and was flown to a hospital. He was in thigh-high casts for a long while and was honorably discharged from the Navy. This was before I was born, so everyone accepted the story. A few months ago, he told me the real story. I've always suspected there was something he was hiding from everyone, based on how he spoke of the time surrounding the accident and the eerie way he talked about his shipmates. He had apparently been given a Purple Heart, and when I asked why he would have received one, he clammed up. My father was a UDT, underwater demolition technician, during his time in the service. In a time of peace, he and the other divers likely, he would never confirm the actual waters, swam off the coast of Russia, their mission to take out certain ships. They swam in total darkness, planted their charges, and had to immediately swim away. He was shot at several times, and once, he told me that something enormous bumped him in the dark. One of the pre-made charges detonated too early, wiping out nearly all of the tethered team. My father's legs were shattered, and the only other living team member bravely took him back to the ship. They dragged six dead bodies, or parts of them that were left, with them in the dark and sinister silence of the ocean. Those bodies were immediately cut free and were purposefully sunk to protect the mission. The gentleman who saved my father passed away on the ship, and then there was only lucky number 8 left. Reluctantly, he was flown to 2 hospitals, one of which was brand new, who turned him away because the head surgeon thought my father would pass away and didn't want to soil the reputation of the brand new OR. When he was finally being treated, his superiors refused to tell his parents or my mother, who he'd married not a week before, where he was, and he also suspects they had plans to terminate him. One of his commanding officers saved his life by staying on constant watch and confirmed that there was talk of pulling my dad's plug prematurely. My dad lived, and that's his story. He has nightmares about the ocean, can't swim in semi-darkness. The officer who watched over him passed away a couple years back. We'll never see his Purple Heart. And I cannot tell anyone because either no one would believe me or they'd blame him for doing his job. He was acting under orders, and yet because of the nature of those orders, he'll never be viewed as a hero or anything. There is no memorial for those 7 other divers. One day I want to write a book about it and fight to get his heart for the suffering and pain he's gone through so that he can have some closure before he passes. Edit. Thank you to everyone who has commented. I'm only repeating this as I heard it told. I have no military experience, and I still do not know all the details. I understand those who are skeptical, and I don't blame you. I would hope he wouldn't lie to me about something so serious. He's a wonderful dad, and he's busted his peach all his life. He'll be getting surgery in the next month on his feet, neck, and shoulders, and he's worked 3 jobs as long as I can remember. If for any reason this is falsified, I am truly sorry, but I have no reason to not believe him at this time. Thank you all for your comments, no matter what they said. Story 19. I'm watching my parents' previously healthy marriage going up in breathe because my dad lost his job and can't re-enter the country, UAE. This is because his boss is trying to blame him for decisions that the boss himself made, and in fact my dad warned him that they were borrowing too much but was pointedly ignored and could land my dad in jail. My mom can't leave the country having thrown in half their life savings into a company here, and it's a failing business. My dad has some hidden resentment about that, which is bubbling up now that he doesn't have his big job to support us. That said, he just wants my mom to retire and relax with him. My mom blames herself too much for starting the business at the wrong time. Who would have predicted the crash 8 months before it happened? And is working herself to death to try and redeem herself. She, of course, unloads all her emotional baggage on me, the older son who was supposed to be the wunderkind of the family, but is now just another guy failing upwards. I'm writing this working my fourth day in a row where I'm working a 16 HR day. I'm not going to get a weekend because my boss has unreasonable demands and I need a freaking break. But I can't because my mother needs me. And somehow, someway, I have to prepare a 1HR speech for her that she's going to do on Saturday despite being a shy woman. This in between 100 calls to various potential clients. I just want to up and leave to a monastery for a while, but my dad would never forgive me for abandoning my mom. Plus, I need job experience, and no one outside the family knows. Edit. Wow, thanks for all the support, everyone. I assure those who are concerned that I've never considered or other kinds of self-harm. This is just one of those tough years. It will work out one way or another, I hope. My parents are incredibly level-headed folks. I'm hopeful that this is just a rough patch. Story 20. My friend got a blowjob from his stepsister on his wedding night. Edit. Couple people asked for the story, so I'm adding my reply to one of them to this post. Okay, it's not super horrible. We all started drinking before the wedding even started. Ceremony went by then, the reception, where we drained the 3 kegs, and someone actually left to go get more beer. Midnight rolls around, and the DJ is done for the night. Instead of going to a hotel or home with his bride, we still want a party, so he decides to have the after party at his house. We all go to his place and continue to drink. Everyone else either passes out or has a ride home. Us three are hanging out, and his stepsister starts striping and dancing for us, which is something that happened on a pretty regular basis when we would all drink together. She starts sucking his banana, and then he says, "Oh, you're really good at that. You should do that to more butter, more cheese," she starts on me. Then he leaves to go to bed with his wife, who is asleep. Then she stops giving me head, saying that the room is spinning and she feels nauseous. Story 21. My husband is adopted, which he has always known, but he has never wanted to know his biological parents, out of fear that he would be disappointed with what he would find. Out of curiosity, I researched them anyway. My husband is a sweet, very successful, and exceptionally intelligent man. How bad could his parents be if they share his genes? Now I wish I'd never researched them, and I can never tell him or anyone else the truth. His father is in prison and will be for the rest of his life because he is a child. His mother is homeless and illiterate. My husband can never know. It would break his heart. Story 22. When I was 19, I randomly met the cute Asian girl at gym. We started talking, and eventually I built up courage to ask for her phone number. Turns out she was 24. But I said, "Be a man," so in time we talk and we start dating. I had to be kept secret from her parents and friends because I was 1, young, and 2, African American. We could never show PDA, public displays of affection. When we went out, I had to act like her coworker. We only had close relationship at my place when my mom wasn't home. I wasn't ever allowed to tell my friends. She paid for everything. Dinner, movies, vacations, etc. I was kind of poor at the time. I grew to love her. She loved me too. Soon she said it had to end. And it would be the upcoming June. I thought she was joking. She was serious. She placed a date for when we would be over. She said she couldn't have a future with me being African American, and I wouldn't be accepted. In my mind, I convinced myself she would never do that. She couldn't toss her feelings to the side. But June came. She stopped replying to my texts, blocked on AIM and Facebook. She didn't even look my way at the sports club. We were together for a year. Last week, she was with an Asian guy at the club. Guessing her new boyfriend. I still try and text her from time to time, hoping she responds. Story 23. I was once at a party with a friend. We were both pretty drunk. She wanted to lie down, so she went into one of the bedrooms to do so. About 10 minutes later, I went to check on her, and a dude was in there trying to undress her while she was passed out. I flipped my cow on him, told him if he didn't get the fudge out, I was going to call the cops and report him for assault. I then picked up my friend, she is really small, carried her to my car, and drove her home. That is the one and only time I ever drove drunk. I have never told her what happened. The next morning, I just told her I didn't feel well and wanted to leave, so I brought her home. Story 24. My father recently passed away suddenly while I was at school, and my mother told me that the life insurance was very small and it was only 30K or so. They had been split and in the middle of a divorce and blah blah. Very difficult for me, and I was the last one to speak to him. Not only did she have her lawyer sign all of the things left to me over to her by a fake sale, but I also found the life insurance check in her room, and it is for 130K. She used his death and my sad state to trick me out of his valued possessions, including his Harley, and I cannot bring myself to admit I was snooping. Fudge you, Mom. Story 25. A long time ago, when I was about 15, I had a friend who we'll call Lisa. I found out she'd be assaulted by some thorn that we'll call Tony. Being that Lisa was my best friend at the time, I felt that I had to do something about it. I couldn't call this dude out, as he was a massive son of a bad person and could easily terminate me with his bare hands. So instead, I got a can of gasoline and some matches, snuck over to his house, and set his banned new Mustang convertible on fire. I wish I could have done more to this rotten piece of cow, but I find some peace in at least doing something about it. Lots of people knew that he was and it wasn't just my friend that had been assaulted by this turd. 2 years later, someone else tied him up and dragged him down a dirt road until he expired. I wish I knew who did it so I could shake their hand. Story 26. I looked at the Zanga of the girl that I was dating for the year that we were together. I felt like it was almost cheating, but it provided me with some serious intel on our relationship. She would vent about things that I did wrong or something she wanted, and I'd ride in like a knight in shining armor using that information to my advantage. She absolutely never knew. It's amazing how far having a little insight into your girlfriend's mind can go. Edit. For those asking what a Zanga is, it's a blog that was big around 2004 or so. www.zanga.com edit #2 awesome. What would appear to be my most upvoted comment yet is about clandestinely improving my relationship with an ex from 7 YRs ago through the power of the internet, haha. This attention has me wondering if I should message her and ask if she ever knew I was doing that. Story 27. There was this very charming, brilliant surgeon that used to work in the hospital that I volunteered at. His dexterity is a gift from God. While being an extremely skillful surgeon, his bedside manner is impeccable. His fellow doctors love him, nurses adore him, patients worship him, hell, even us volunteers are willing to give a kidney to shadow him. However, he's also an alcoholic. And when I say alcoholic, I mean he would go get trashed after work, 5 times a week, day or night, depends on his call schedule. When he's not in the hospital, he would be in a bar. There was a time, around 2 a.m. in the morning, while I was walking home from my girlfriend's, I saw a man lying face up next to a trash can. You can smell the stink of hard liquor and vomit 10 feet away from that man. Worried that the man might choke on his own vomit, I quickly ran to him and turned him over to the side. Imagine my surprise when I saw his face under that dim, shimmering streetlight. At first, I thought he was out cold, but as I leaned forward, I realized he was murmuring a name. Let's say Fiona. I didn't know what to do with him. Neither calling the cops or the hospital would do anything beneficial for him. So I dragged his body to a park bench and left him there. Later, I found out that Fiona was the first patient he lost during his career due to a judgment call. Story 28. This is a secret only me and my great uncle know of. After the situation, he told me not to tell anyone what happened because he could be thrown into prison for what he did. When I was a young age, at about 5, 6, I couldn't sleep. My great uncle used to take me for walks to get me tired and put me to sleep. One night it was sometime in winter where it's always icy and cold in England. He took me for a walk at about 3 a.m. I lived in a rough neighborhood when I was a kid, and as we were walking home, a man came at me with a knife. He threatened to stab me unless my great uncle gave him money. We had little to no money at the time, hence living in a bad home. My great uncle, who was about 6'2" at the time, refused to give him any money, jolted forward and headbutted this man, causing him to slip on an icy curb, crack his skull off it, and pass away. My great uncle took my hand and took me home as quick as he could. He told me not to tell anyone in case of him being thrown into prison. Of course, I never told anyone until this very moment. My great uncle passed away sometime last year, and I'll never forget the things he did for me. Story 29. Asterisk breathes deeply asterisk. I've really never told anyone about this. When I was about 8 or so, I woke up in the middle of the night and found myself alone in the room I share with my sibling. So I went to my parents' bedroom, see that my whole family is sleeping horizontally on the bed as to fit. I crawled myself through the sheets, my head was opposite theirs, and immediately fell asleep. I guess being quite bigger in size, my dad thought it was my mom. I woke up feeling like I was going to pee and felt someone diddling my clitoris. I stay motionless and it stops too, so I continue sleeping. Early the next day during breakfast, my dad confesses that he thought I was my mom and that he only grabbed my butt, laughing at it all. I can't remember how I reacted that moment. Edit. Removed an extra and added comma. Story 30. My college roommate was a real thorn who always stole our stuff, used our person items, shampoo, soap, toothpaste, and always drank our alcohol. One day, me and some friends finished a bottle of Captain Morgan's and got the brilliant idea to pee in it and put it back in the fridge with mine. Do not drink written all over it many times. We returned to the room hours later to find shower bag roommate sitting at his desk with the empty bottle. He proudly exclaimed, "Guys, I'm so wasted I just took 11 shots of Captain." Story 31. I used to be a cop. Back in the early 1990s, when most police departments were switching from revolvers to semi-automatic pistols, we went through transitional school to learn how to use the new sidearms. 6 months after I transitioned from a .357 Magnum to a 9mm Smith Wesson semi-automatic pistol, I pulled a driver over for speeding, something like 50 in a 35 zone. This was before dash cams made it to our cars and laptops were years away. I called in the plate as I always did and proceeded to exit my car to talk to the driver of the car I stopped. As I approached the driver's door, the glass slowly lowered. At that exact moment, my dispatcher radioed me that the vehicle was wanted in connection to a drive-by shooting and homicide. I quickly drew my weapon, and as I was raising it, I accidentally pulled the trigger. The gun fired, and the bullet struck the dashboard of the car, punching a hole in the speedometer, blowing plastic fragments all over the driver. As the ringing in my ears subsided, I heard the police dispatcher telling me to disregard her last message. She had transposed some numbers, and this car wasn't wanted after all. I lowered the gun to check on the driver, while spewing apologies like a madman. I got him out of the car, and we examined my handiwork. The instruments on his two-month-old Lexus LS400 were flickering. I didn't give him much time to decide what he wanted to do. I asked him to follow me to an ATM, where I withdrew and paid him $1,000 to fix the car and keep it a secret. He took the money and I never heard from him again. I forgot a golden rule to keep your finger outside the trigger guard until certain you will expect to fire. I left law enforcement for emergency medicine because I never know when I'm going to shoot someone next. Story 32. I was in third grade and I had just mastered the art of lying. My parents were uneasy about me walking to my friend's house around the corner alone, but I did anyways. When I came back for absolutely no reason, I lied and said some stranger asked me to get into a van with him. I said he needed help finding his lost puppy and that he'd give me a Pokemon card in return. A flipping holographic Shanzai. My parents freaked and my dad, a cop, started asking me questions about what he looked like. I said black van and he was bald. He launched an investigation and all the cops in town were looking for this guy. A week later, we had an assembly at our elementary school about child abduction. A student of ours was recently approached by a strange man and was asked to get into a car with him. Remember to never get into cars with strangers. I sat through that presentation with the biggest innocent poker face ever. Even as some teachers came up to me and asked if I was okay, a full-out police investigation and an assembly over LI, and I don't even know why I decided to make that up. Spur of the moment, it just popped out of my mouth. No premeditation to it. Never once thought to myself, hey, you know what would be funny? Just made it up as I told my parents. To this day, no one knows except a few of my friends. We got stoned and I told them they went to elementary school with me so they had a good laugh. I remember that flipping assembly. From that moment on, I knew I had a gift for lying. Story 33. I went on a trip with my friend through Italy. We stayed at a hostel. He met an Italian girl. Got drunk with her. They came back to the hostel and had close relationship in the hostel room. The hostel room has about 10 people sleeping in the room, including me. Everyone can see each other because the beds are somewhat in a circle. They decide to bang with us all watching. They were drunk and didn't care. While they were banging, the girl kept repeating something over and over, loudly in Italian. I didn't know what she was saying. They finish banging, then they both leave to breathe outside. Some people in the room start laughing as soon as they leave. I thought they were laughing because it was funny that they had close relationship in front of us. The girl sleeping in the bed next to me translated what the girl was saying in Italian when my friend was banging her. The girl was saying little banana over and over. My friend thought she was saying hot, dirty things in Italian, but she was really saying that his banana was too small. My friend then tried asking other people the next day what she was saying. Luckily, no one told him. He felt like the man after that, so I didn't want to burst his bubble.
Story 34.
My ex-girlfriend terminated Joe Brooks, the Oscar award-winning composer, while he was living in New York City in 2011. Well, actually, it was an assisted, though that's still illegal, too. Brooks was about to be convicted of literally a dozen assault charges. He was a terrible human being, and confessed everything to my then-girlfriend because he needed her help and didn't want to spend the rest of his short, miserable life in prison. My GF, a morally dubious person to begin with, agreed to help him pass away pain-free in exchange for a large sum of money and painkillers. I wanted him to go to jail and pass away alone and publicly disgraced. Plus, I don't condone taking anyone's life. Obviously, she ignored me. And before anyone asks, the police don't care that she did it. I've already talked to them, and they can't or won't connect her to the crime. They have his note in her handwriting. He was too shaky to write it. But I guess they figure it's not their problem. All I have is the verbal confession she gave me before she went up and did it. She detailed exactly how she was going to do it, and I thought it was insane, something that no one would ever believe was a... She did it anyway and never talked about it afterward. Read the article and tell me that sounds like a normal to you. Edit. A couple of you have said that I'm the bad guy for trying to punish my ex for terminating someone. First off, a miserable fudge like Joe Brooks should have been left to rot in prison for the rest of his life, getting peach assaulted nightly for his sins and not allowed to pass peacefully away while high off his peach. Asterisk, fudge you asterisk, for thinking he deserves to pass away with dignity. Secondly, for the sake of story length, I left out the parts where my ex has warrants for her arrest in 4 states, where the FBI has come looking to find her after I kicked her out, where she's defrauded local hospitals, where she's racked up tens of thousands of dollars of debt and flees every time collection agencies catch up with her. I'm surprised she's able to function with her candy addictions and numerous personality disorders, to be honest with you. But she ruins lives, and I'm reasonably certain this wasn't the first death she's directly caused. Long story short, she's a danger to herself and others and needs to be institutionalized, if not in...
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
Incarcerated. I attempted to get her psychiatric help, but was unsuccessful.
I'm not proud of what happened. I feel bad enough for being complicit in the activities that I knew about, but I had no idea about her entire background until right before we split up.
Story 35. I messed up my aunt, blood relative. I was 23 and she was 46. She was hot as hell and still is. We found ourselves stranded alone for 2 days. She flirted with me, I flirted back. We just kept getting more ribald until it was obvious we were both okay with it. Found out later she had always known I had a crush on her and used to compliment me all the time just to tease me. I flipping got off on looking at her C-section scar and repeatedly came inside her. She loved it. Most close relationship I've ever had in a 48-hour period by far. By the end, I was so sore I was convinced I had torn an abdominal muscle and had to lie to my parents about a skiing accident when they demanded I see a doctor. I haven't seen her since and it's been 10 years. She's not avoiding me. We just live far away and never get to go to the same family gatherings. I would fudge her again in a heartbeat if I could. I would fudge only her for the rest of my life if I could. I'm mostly attracted to older women, and I know it's because of my experience with her. I see my cousins all the time. They have no clue. Her husband is a cop, and he's the coolest uncle I have, but I'm pretty sure he would try to terminate me if he knew all the things I did to his wife. I don't flipping care. I'm positive it will never happen again. It was an opportunity of circumstance, and I've never said anything about it. I'll never admit it to anyone I know in real life under any circumstance. Story 36. When I was 12, I was molested on multiple occasions by my sister's boyfriend, him, 18, 19 at the time. My family found out around the time I was in middle school, after he molested other family members, 2 of my cousins. I didn't feel so much a victim until everyone found out, and no one in my family can keep secrets, adults. Though I didn't want to be treated as a victim, I don't enjoy the fact that everyone brushes it off like it never happened, and even on some occasions expect me to accept him into our family.
He is still around because despite molesting three children, my sister, who I used to be very close with, is still with him. They have two children together. I am now 21. I can't think of a day that I don't have thoughts of that slob touching me or the mental, emotional burden he has given me. Coincidentally, he tried to apologize to me today, a few hours ago. Some may say it's brave of him or honorable, but after 10 years, I will never forgive him. Story 37. About 16 years ago, I worked as a computer technician at CompUSA. As is the case in all tech shops, the first thing we'd do when we put a customer's computer up on the bench was to peruse the hard drive for censored photos. One day I come across someone's stash of child photography. I immediately tell my manager what resides on the machine in question. She calls corporate to find out how to handle the situation. I'm eventually told to fix the problem the machine was originally brought in for, forget that I ever saw the illegal images, and never speak of it. Apparently, corporate was worried the store would get sued because I went digging around the hard drive when it wasn't necessary to complete the work requested. Story 38. My friend has a job that, at one time, required him to spend every other week in New York. Because of this, he had an apartment in New York and a house in our hometown. For the first year of this job, he had a girlfriend in both cities. Then, for some reason, he decided to propose to both women. He spent the next year engaged to both women. After a year, he got promoted and no longer had to split time between both cities. So he called of the engagement with the girl in New York and sold his apartment. He then gave his fiancée the other's engagement ring as a present. I'm not sure how he was able to pull it off, but he is the type of guy where everything always seems to go his way.